So we know that finding and providing safe housing for hard-to-house people is a challenge in Edmonton. So if it's a challenge in the big city, what about Alberta's smaller communities? We have heard of some unique programs in communities like Edson over the past year, and there is another one in Whitecourt. The Soaring Eagle Support Society runs a transitional housing project at Eagle's Nest Motel in Whitecourt, and it's facing some tough financial times. Let's find out more with Sheila Watson, who is the executive director of the Soaring Eagle Support Society. Sheila, welcome to 630 CHED.
Hello, Jane, and thank you.
Yeah, nice to have you on the show. Sheila, take us back a little bit in time to the start of the society and what the plan was when you started it. I think it was in 2020 where it began, and what you've been doing over the course of the past couple of years.
Well, we started out just recognizing that there were a lot of vulnerable people that just weren't getting the kinds of supports or not being able to access the kinds of supports they needed. So we started out in downtown Whitecourt with a free drop-in center for people that could come and just get all kinds of services, including things like even just a lunch or a shower or, you know, a place to do laundry, that type of a thing. And, plus we had over the course of the year or so, staff that could provide all kinds of outreach services to them as well. So that's how we started out.
So just to pause there, okay. Sheila, with some of that outreach service, and I think it's important to note that some of that work that you were doing, I think, you know, helping people get identification, helping people mm-hmm. navigate the court system. I mean, that was all a part of some of the work that you were doing, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. And important work because it's hard to get anything if you don't have any ID.
Absolutely. You can't get anything. You can't get funds. You can't even go to the food bank here mm-hmm. without having ID. So, you know, providing ID for people is one of the first things that we do.
Okay. So, and it's grown, and now there's a transitional housing program that Soaring Eagle Support Society runs. Tell us about mm-hmm. that.
Well, we just discovered very early on that providing all these supports for people when they had nowhere to go, nowhere to lay their head afterwards was kind of counterproductive. Mm. So the housing was just not available for this particular group of people. So we just decided that providing that housing was going to be our next step. So we leased a motel from wonderful owners who are just very supportive of us and started a transitional housing project.
So over the course of that time, since you started leasing the building, how many people have had a safe place to stay?
Over the past just, I think, 17 months that we've been open, we've housed 50 people. We average, like right now, we have 25 people in residence, and plus we've provided outreach supports to well over 150 people.
So what does that look like, Sheila, when someone needs a place to stay? Is there any fee charged to them? How long do they stay for? Like, what does that look like? What are the rules? What are the rules?
Well, there's steps to the program, actually, or to the project. So we usually take people on fairly readily if we feel that they can manage the project or the program. And initially, if they don't have funds of their own, we help them to apply for funds. And people pay affordable renting rates for here. So on average, they're paying between $550 and $725, depending on what their income may or may not be and which unit they're renting. And so, yes, they do have to eventually be able to pay the rent.
So how has the community embraced the organization and this transitional housing?
We have great support from the community at large and from individuals and businesses in the community. Lots of people liking what we're doing, donating in-kind things, a lot of the things that we need to run our program, food and just sundry items and all kinds of things like that. Lots of people coming in and donating their time. So we've got good support from the community at large, yeah.
Sheila, it sounds, I just want to backtrack to what people are charged to stay there. I mean, if someone's being charged $500 to $700 to stay in a unit at the Eagle's Nest Motel in White Court, which is a part of the Soaring Eagle Support Society, I mean, I guess that's a part of the confusion maybe for some people, because I think some people think unhoused or hard to house, folks don't have anything, but it's varying, isn't it?
It totally is.
Yeah.
And often when they come to us, they don't have anything. And that's why I said the first thing we do besides getting them ID is to help them get some kind of funding, some kind of income support, so that they are able to. And some of our folks have an income or have the but are just not able to maintain a place to live in the community at this point without the supports that they need.
So they're running into some challenges now, and it sounds like a challenge when it comes to transitional housing right across the province. From what I'm hearing is that, you know, there's just not enough money, or in your case, any money. So now the fear is that the units could be shut down?
That's correct.
So what's going on? Like, do you get no provincial money?
None. Basically, all of the provincial funds for homelessness go to the seven urban centers, mm-hmm. the main centers, and none of it is actually designated for rural Alberta, despite the fact that we have over 30% of the population. And there's just this sense that there's no homelessness or housing issues in rural Alberta, which is ridiculous. And so, no, none of the funding is designated. So we really depend on being very creative with applying for grants and then just the generosity of the community at large.
So when we talk about running out of cash, when we talk about not being able to continue to run the program, I mean, what's the timeline look like? Is it, you know, 3 months from now, or is it next week?
Yes. We're actually just operating on a month-to-month basis. So here we are at the end of the month and looking to see if we can carry forward into next month and just, you know, hoping for the grant money to come through or that our fundraising efforts would come to fruition. Time is really our enemy. You know, some of the things that we have in place may happen in the future, but not immediately.
So what are you doing to try to get more cash?
Well, we have a GoFundMe going right now just because that's something that people are familiar with and, you know, maybe more readily to access it. So, if you know, it's on our Facebook page and people are sharing it in other ways. We have a corporate kind of sponsor a room program that we are looking at doing and have started implementing, you know, hoping to have some ongoing yearly sponsorship through that. And just various fundraising activities that we do in the community.
What happens if this shuts down next week?
If it were to shut down next week, 25 people would have no home. We wouldn't let that happen in the fact that we're not going to shut down in a week. You know, we would do what we needed to do to keep people housed in a roof over their head for as long as we can. We try to do it in an orderly fashion and try to find them places to live. But at this moment in time, there really isn't anything. So, yes, that, you know, overall, 25 people will be homeless.
So the situation is dire. Time is ticking. And when we look at the successes that the Soaring Eagle Support Society has had. I mean, it's one of the things that I always want to talk about is the success that you've seen, right? I mean, because you can, you know, people think, oh, well, it's just, you know, someone just staying there, whatever, and then maybe they go on to the next place. But that's not the case, is it? I mean, there are success stories here.
Absolutely. We have many success stories, and success to us looks different for each individual. You know, success might be that this fella has had a warm place to live and a bed to sleep in for 9 months that he didn't have before. Mm. Or it might be the single dad that is now being able to access visits with his son because he has a residence and he's not living in his car. We have seniors who didn't know how to apply for old age security and didn't have a place to live on the income that they had, that now have a safe place to be. And people that have been able to move through the project and then move into the community, into other housing as well.
Sheila, if people want to find out more about the society, where can they get some information from?
They can definitely call us at our phone number, 780-396-8777, we can get them all the information that they would want. We have a Facebook page, working on a website.
Okay. Sheila, best of luck as you continue to move through these tricky times, and we'll be keeping an eye out. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.